morning, Crestonwood Church family. My name is Rhonda Britton, and I am so excited to be here in worship with you this morning. Today, we are starting worship with parent-child dedication, and we are going to introduce you to families that have decided in their heart that they're going to raise their children to know, love, and follow Christ. So we're going to get started. We have Brian and Samantha Cable, and they are dedicating Luke Andrew. We also have Thomas and Laura Hart, and they are dedicating Caitlin Hope. Cody and Allison Harder are dedicating Catherine Rose. Shane and Rachel Rutherford are dedicating Caleb Noah. Jimmy and Zuzu Solis are dedicating Rumi Jade. Connor and Taylor Van Hemert are dedicating Carter Beth. Zachary and Katia Weir are dedicating Caleb Andre. And Jordan and Lauren Wicker are dedicating Hayes Shepherd. We're so grateful for these families. Thank you so much.
Well, church family, I just want to say again this morning a big congratulations and God bless you to these incredible families and these beautiful kids. You know, if you're a little bit newer to our church family, this is something that we do regularly throughout the year, that when a new precious little one is added to your family, mom and dads, we take time to acknowledge that, to celebrate it, and to just say a word of encouragement and challenge for all of us as parents about what God's called us to do. You know, the scripture records in the book of 1 Samuel that there was a precious mom that had a desire in her heart to be a mother. And she went to the Lord, her name was Hannah, and she asked the Lord if he would provide a baby for her, a child. And she said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you. And so that's a picture, that's a story that we take seriously in the scripture as we think about this morning, moms and dads and families, what it means to bring this little one before your church family as a couple, as a family, and to say, we desire that we would raise this little one in the fear and admonition of the Lord. How do you do that? Well, I would just encourage you this morning, you need to be praying as parents. There's no greater thing than you can do than to pray for a little one. That's right, buddy. There's no greater thing that we can do than to pray every day for our kids. The parents and the grandparents in this room, you know the power of prayer and what it means to intercede and to advocate for those little ones that we love. And parents, I can just tell you, the Lord loves it when we pray. And the scripture tells us we are welcome to pray. I can't think of a better thing for you and I to do as parents than to be regularly and daily praying for these little ones that God's given us. But not only prayer, but we want to pour over them the truth of God's word. You need to be in the scripture every day. Moms, dads, grandparents, church family, we need to be in the word of God every day. Our pastor is going to challenge us with a word this morning about the transforming power of the scripture. And that's true, parents. God's word can transform lives, transform families, and the truth of God's word needs to be pouring over their hearts and minds all the time. Have a copy of God's word in your home. Have it opened up and be reading it to them regularly. But then I want to challenge you with this, families. Go ahead and make the decision now to be committed to be a part of the people of God that we call the local church. You know, that's why we're doing this today in our service. That's why you're here. That's why our students and our choir and our next gen experience today, all ages and stages of life, to say that little kids matter, don't they, church family? Boys and girls and teenagers matter. They matter to Jesus. They matter to us. And your precious little one matters to our church. And so we've got all kinds of ministries and people and places that your little one can come and be a part of this incredible community called Prestonwood. But mom and dad, it's going to mean your commitment to say, I'm going to be a part of the people of God, and I'm going to raise my little boy, little girl up to know and love Jesus by being a part of this local family called Prestonwood. And we just want to say we're proud of you today because you're doing that. You're standing here today to say we are committing ourselves and we're committing these little ones to say we want to lead them to know and follow Jesus. And so, church family, as we celebrate these little ones and as we pray, we know there may be some today, perhaps there's a couple here today that's praying that desire that Hannah prayed, that Lord would give you a child. We're praying with you about that today. And we love you and we love these families. And it's our joy today to be able to say, as we come together, not just these little ones, mom and dad, but you, husbands and wives, moms and dads, to say, we are standing before our church family, committing to raise this little one to know and to love Jesus. Moms and dads, if that's your commitment before your church family, will you just say yes? Amen. And church family, if you are committed today to say that you want to walk with, pray with, serve, encourage, we're going to need your help in the preschool and in children's ministry and at a student ministry around a table as these little ones grow up in the life of our church. We're going to need your prayers and support and encouragement. So church family, if that's your agreement today to say, yes, we're going to love, pray for, and serve these parents and these little ones as they pursue Jesus in their home, will you say amen? And with that, would you stand with me as we pray together and move into our time of worship together this morning? And so, Lord, that's our prayer. That's our commitment. What a wonderful way to start our service together today, to say that you are Lord, Lord of our lives, Lord of our homes, and yes, Father, in the days to come, as these precious little ones are raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that there would be a day that one of them would walk down one of these aisles on a Sunday morning to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because of a mom and dad that loves them, that they'd come into the waters of baptism in obedience by faith because they've trusted you to live for you publicly and openly and boldly, that all of their lives would be spent following you, Jesus. And today, these moms and dads and our church family would look back and say, this was a day where we drove down a stake of commitment as a home and said, we're going to follow Jesus. As for us and for our house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I pray that these precious little ones and countless others that we serve today would know that, Jesus, you love them, and that you have a great plan for their life. Now, Lord, would you be in our worship? Would you be honored, lifted up, and glorified? And all we do, all we say, all we sing, be lifted high, Jesus. And we pray it in your powerful and mighty name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. It's time to worship Jesus. He's redeemed us. He's called us his own. For that, we give him praise. Come on.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my doom till I met you.
Come on, you know it. Sing it out. I was breathing.
I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my dream till I met you. Yeah. You called my
I'm
our lives on the strong foundation of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith on Jesus.
Yes, I did.
'Cause He has never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't.
That's right.
He won't.
Let's sing it together.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus.
Yes, I have.
And He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why?
The truth of that song. It's so awesome that we can build our lives on a strong foundation. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, would you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm standing on the rock of ages. How about you?
Firm foundation.
It's good to be together in God's house today. Please be seated. Let's continue to worship as we observe the ordinance of baptism together. Change lives to the glory of God.
Well, good morning, Prestonwood. We have 9 candidates for baptism this morning. This is Harper Norris.
This is Lawson Fitzsimmons.
This is Shepherd Swope.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Sammy Williamson.
And this is Maddie Cupid.
This is Jacob Simpson.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have a father and sons who came to our church and to Christ through our Prestonwood Sports Outreach Ministry. This is Gentry Parks.
This is Gentry's dad, Clay Parks.
And this is Bo Parks.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear with Christ in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen.
Congratulations indeed to all our baptismal candidates, the Parks family. They were on our PSO team. Let's go, Falcons. I love that, you guys. I'm Jeremiah Johnston. I am one of the pastors here at Prestonwood. It is a privilege to welcome you into the worship center this morning. We have a wonderful time of worship scheduled, and we're praying that God is going to meet you exactly at your greatest point of need. I also want to welcome everyone who is joining us from around the world, worshiping with us. I was actually worshiping with Prestonwood last Sunday in Jerusalem. The service was so good, and I was 8 hours ahead, and I had nothing else to do, so I watched all the Sunday morning services. It was so great. And so if you're visiting with us as well, oh, by the way, I literally preached from an empty tomb on last Sunday morning. I'm here to tell you the tomb is still empty in Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen. Christ is on the throne. He's not behind us in a tomb. He's before us in a throne. If you're visiting with us online or in the room, you can always text 74788, the word connect. Perhaps you're visiting or you've been a guest for several weeks or perhaps months, but you've never let us know that you're here. Please do that. That allows us to serve you better and get you involved, just like the Parks family who were just baptized. We'd love to get you involved in all the ministries, 150 different ministries here. And also, if you're joining us, you can stop by Guest Central. Our pastor has a brand new book called Essential Gospel. That's our gift to all of our guests today. If you just stop by Guest Central, that is his verse-by-verse book through the book of Romans. It's absolutely phenomenal. I highly recommend it to you. I do want to mention just very quickly, next Sunday, we begin our Biblical Worldview Conference, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that you've already registered. We have nearly 4,000 people coming to this conference. It begins next Sunday night, and God bless all of you. Don't worry, the Cowboys are not playing at home next Sunday, so you have no excuse not to be in this room on Sunday night to join Lee Strobel, myself, and others, our pastor, Dr. Goddard, our entire team. We have 8 main stage speakers. We have 13 breakouts. We have a Spanish track. We have a Christian businessmen and women track. I am so excited. You know, we learn from everyone, but no one should think for you. And this conference is all about helping you learn how to think Christianly and how to pass on a legacy of faith to your children. So if you haven't registered, please go to PrestonwoodWorldview.org. That's PrestonwoodWorldview.org. You can register. Friends, do you realize now that Prestonwood Baptist Church, Lee Strobel told me this on the phone about 2 weeks ago, we now host the largest biblical worldview conference in the world as far as people in the same room. And so I give God praise for that. I thank the Lord for that. It's one of the reasons we give today. Also, we'll be debuting the Christian Hall of Fame. If you want to see original autographs from C.S. Lewis and other great Christian legends of the past, that's going to be in the atrium as well. So much more we could say. You just need to be here. I'm looking forward to see you. I'm going to be asking if I see you if you're signed up, so just be ready for that today. I'm also just thrilled with our youth choir. When Audrey and I think about tithing to our church, it's the greatest privilege to give to Prestonwood Baptist Church. Success for me as a dad is seeing my daughter in the youth choir right now. I was with a couple at the Baylor game yesterday, Sick and Bears. Their son, 34, now in the choir. Guess why he's in the choir today? He's a CFO, he's a businessman. Rick Briscoe was his youth choir leader here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. So when I look at what's going on behind us, I praise God. And it's also a great reminder why Audrey and I bring our first fruits tithes to the local church here at Prestonwood, where we're ministered to. Let me encourage you to do that. Join with us. God's doing so much. Father, I just want to continue in prayer right now as we continue in a spirit of worship. And Lord, I feel led this morning to just pray your word back to you from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. God, we have people here today, and perhaps they've been on their own path. I pray today that you would lead them back to your path for their life as we continue now in worship. In Jesus' name, and all God's wonderful people said, amen. Let's continue in worship.
Would you stand as we worship today?
People.
same God yesterday, today, for all eternity. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. I need you, Jesus, today. Let's sing.
Power than God moving power now. morning, everyone. What an incredible experience to worship our God with you today. This fantastic student choir. I don't know how many are in the loft today and on this platform, but we love our students, our student ministry, led by the great Andy Pearson and team. And we're so thrilled that not only can we dedicate parents and their babies today, but next generation on this platform. As a church, we are committed to the local church and growing the church God's way according to His word. Then we have a great vision for the next generation and raising up a generation of believers and followers of Christ who will change the world. And then to fulfill the Great Commission. This is what we are about, to go into all the world, our neighbors and the nations, and this nation, to proclaim the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Thank you for being a worshiper today, not just a consumer of religious content, but a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that you are a participator, not a spectator, and therefore you are a victor in Christ. So we just declare it, we affirm it, we believe what we just sang. These are prayers, these are praises that we offer our God. And to everyone online, let me welcome you once again and encourage you wherever you are to take God's word, and along with everyone in this congregation, to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is part 2 of a message that we began last week on the transforming power of the Word of God. The transforming power of the Bible. There was a young man by the name of Larry Schreier. And about 30 plus years ago, he was tramping across the United States. He was actually a part of the 60s generation. You might even call him a hippie, a Jewish man, young man from New York, who abandoned his family, abandoned his faith, his Jewish faith, and was on a search for life, a search for meaning all across America. He literally was sleeping on the street, sleeping in his car, trying to find his way. And this young Jewish teenager was in a gas station in North Carolina. And as he was pumping gas in his old car, he saw pieces of a gospel booklet. A gospel booklet meaning a pamphlet, a tract describing the way of salvation, how a person can come to know Christ. Just a few pieces of this gospel tract was laying on the ground, gathering dirt. But he picked it up, led by the Spirit of God. We know this now. But the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit prompted him to pick up the pieces of this gospel tract. And he began to read it. And he began to read scriptures that he had never seen before. Gospel, powerful scriptures of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I said, there were just pieces of this tract left. So he went to the owner of the filling station. He said, "Who can explain to me more about what's on this booklet? What's in this booklet? And who can tell me the rest of the story?" And the filling station owner said, "Well, I don't know. I can't tell you, but there's a lady who lives right up there on the hill. She can tell you more about this if you'll go and see her." And so Larry Schreier walked to this lady's house, knocked on the door, showed her the gospel tract, and said, "Can you explain to me what this means?" And that little lady shared Christ with this young man, opened the scriptures to him, and Larry believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He received Yeshua as his Messiah and Lord and Savior. He was separated from his wife. He sent her a telegram, and he knew that his wife had wanted nothing to do with him because he had so messed up their lives, their marriage. He figured he would never hear from her again, so he sent her a telegram back in the days of telegrams. He sent her a telegram and said, "Have come into an incredible inheritance. Contact me immediately." And she did. And Susan and Larry got their lives together. She received Christ, trusted him as Savior and Lord. They recommitted their vows and promises to God. They were baptized as believers of Christ. And Larry Schreier ultimately became a pastor on our staff at the First Baptist Church of West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, that story, That story is just one of millions of others. I could tell you one like it. We have a young pastor in our network who's pastoring over in North Carolina, as a matter of fact, and his father was a factory worker up in Michigan, Detroit, I believe, and he was on a break. He actually was in the stall of the men's restroom and saw a similar gospel tract laying on the ground in the stall of a restroom. His life was falling apart. He didn't know what direction he should take with his life. He was a young dad, didn't know what to do. He picked up this tract. He read it. He read the gospel there, and just a few hours later, someone shared with him how he could know Christ. He believed and received Christ into his life, and now that young man's father, now in heaven, but he is the father of a family that followed Christ and has a son who's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ every Sunday in a church in North Carolina. Now, I'm just telling you, the Bible is the only book that can change lives like that. The Bible is the Word of God. It makes bad people good and good people better. It's the power of God's Word. We know what it is. We talked about it last time. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration, that it is God breathed out by the Holy Spirit. The life of God is in His Word. All Scripture, every bit of it, is inspired, not just inspiring or written by inspired men, but breathed out by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, might be thoroughly equipped to all good works. Yes, the Bible, every page is powerful, the powerful revelation of God. This book is not just another book. It is the supernatural Word of God. It is the miraculous work of God. And we described shortly last time just some of the reasons that we can believe in the inspiration of the Bible. We said there are three words that describe our faith in the Bible. Inspiration, it is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. Infallible in that all of its truth is true, inerrant in all of its words are with truth without any mixture of error. This is the miracle of inspiration. We could talk about the miracle of preservation, how God has preserved His Word throughout the generations. We could talk about, when talking about the powerful transforming work of the Bible, we could talk about the work of illumination, which is the Holy Spirit being our teacher. Even as I am speaking to you, the Word of God today from His truth, not my words, but God's Word, the Holy Spirit illuminates His Scripture, opens our eyes, opens our hearts to the Word of God. There's the miracle of illumination when the Spirit of God causes God to walk out of the pages of Scripture and into our lives. And then there's the miracle even of canonization. And that's a whole other story, how God put the Bible together. And frankly, many don't have a clue as to how the Bible came together. Remember, the Bible is not just one book, but it is a veritable library of 66 books, Old Testament and New Testament, 39 Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And so, we have this book, the book of books. And when the Bible speaks, it speaks accurately on all subjects. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So whether the Bible is speaking scientifically, if the Bible speaks concerning some issue of science, you can count on the fact that it is true. If the Bible speaks regarding history, count on the fact that the Bible is historically true, historically accurate. If the Bible speaks on a subject of geography, you can count on the fact, whether it is cities or nations, that when the Bible speaks, the Bible is true. Archaeological discovery proves with every spade the Scripture of God. Within its pages are life and faith and hope and love. This is the Word of God. In the Word of God, we find meaning and we find fulfillment and forgiveness in the power of God. So when you hold your Bible in your hand, count on the fact that God has preserved for you this book, this powerful, life-changing, transforming Word of God. You hold in your hands the Word of God. This is God's book. And I pray that you will love God's word, that you will give thanks every day for the opportunity that we have to know God through his word. This is the greatest treasure, the greatest possession of your life. Outside of your relationship with God himself in Christ, your Bible is life's most precious possession to you. It is the word of God. I was at Grandparents' Day here for Prestonwood Christian Academy, and of course at PCA, along with our student ministry, we're training up boys and girls, young people, teenagers to know and love God's word. And we had the various pledges as little kindergarten children were standing here, first with the American flag, then the Christian flag, and then the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible. And it was so very beautiful, so very precious, as these little children stood before their grandparents and united their voices with these words: I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, and will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. How beautiful. The Bible is God's word. Here at Prestonwood, we are committed to teaching, preaching, proclaiming, sharing the word of God, to do the work of ministry. The Bible's miracle of transformation. So that's what we're going to focus on today. We've talked a little bit about inspiration. We talked a little bit about the illumination of Scripture, the preservation of Scripture, but let's talk about the transformation of Scripture. In Psalm 19, would you go with me in your Bibles to Psalm 19? And we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. And in it, we are going to see six synonyms of the Scriptures. These are descriptors or portraits of what the Bible is and what the Bible does in his life, our lives, the transforming power of God's word. And we're going to look at these one by one, and that's the message today. We're going to read it together. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is what? Great reward. Number one, in verse 8, we discover that your Bible will transform your soul. The Bible transforms your soul because there is life in God's word. Because there is life, the Bible has the power to convert the human soul, to turn life around. The Bible's message is the message of salvation. This is what the Bible is all about. And did you know that you cannot become a Christian apart from God's word? You say, well, I became a Christian apart from God's word. I just believed one day. No, you didn't. Someone shared with you God's word. Or if the Holy Spirit prompted you to receive Christ, someone opened the scriptures to you, just as someone followed up on Larry Schreier when he found pieces of the Bible on the ground. God gets his word to you and anyone who truly wants to know him. This is how we know the word of God. We may believe that God exists. We may, in creation, as we talked about last week, the wonders of his creation, we may believe that God exists. But how do we know this God? Who is this God? What is he like? And how can we have peace with a holy God? You know, it's so important to know things, but this generation not only wants to know, but to know how. To know how. So how do you know the truth about God? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of the Bible is God's gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, this is the gospel of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the Jesus book, both Old Testament and New Testament. You say, well, I don't read the Old Testament that much. Well, you're missing the big part of the Bible. Did you know that in the New Testament, there are 260 chapters in the New Testament? And all but 12, I said all but 12 of the chapters, 260 of them in the New Testament, reference the Old Testament. It is the Old Testament that Jesus read and believed. So if you want to read the Bible like Jesus, read not only the Old Testament, but read the Old Testament as well. Because in the Old Testament, we have the promises of His coming, the prophecies of His coming, the preparation for His coming. All of the Old Testament is written as examples unto us that we may know faith. And if you walk into our atrium, our lobby, and you see those stained glasses there, every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is represented there and portrayed there in every one of those stained glass windows is a portrait of Christ, a picture of Christ, an illustration of Christ, a type of Christ. We see Christ in the Old Testament. And if you look carefully, you'll see throughout those stained glass windows a scarlet thread, a red ribbon that is running from Genesis to Revelation that shows up at the book, in the first of the book, the beginning of the book, the middle of the book, the end of the book, all of the book. It's about redemption. How man who is separated from God could know and meet God through Jesus Christ by the power of His life. There is life in the blood. There is this scarlet thread of redemption that runs throughout. Cut the Bible anywhere, Spurgeon said, and it will bleed. This is a bloody book. It's about the salvation that is provided for us at the cross by the power of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Amen. Whoa, that's so good. In fact, I think you can see it if you look carefully. You can't see it because it's a little dark up there, but that scarlet thread of redemption is in our baptistry as well on the stained glass. And, oh yes, right at the heart of everything we are as a church, you see there the sword. What is that about? That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's right here on our pulpit, the risen Christ, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the living Word of God. Peter put it this way. He said, we are born again unto a living hope by the word of God. That's 1 Peter 1:3. John wrote his gospel signifying all the gospels as well as all the scriptures. And he says, these things are written. God's word is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then in believing, you will have life in His name. So what is the transforming power of the Bible? It is the power to save. It's the power to convert, making wise unto salvation, making us wise unto salvation. Then secondly, look at the second part of this verse or this chapter in Psalm 119. It says, making wise the simple. You know what that means? The Bible transforms your mind. The Bible transforms your mind. Not only does the Bible transform your soul, but the Bible transforms your mind. Look at it again. Making wise the simple. The Bible is God's book of wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. That's real wisdom. Scientists tell us that the brain is hardwired to store information. God so created our minds, our brains, even the hardware of the brains, that we are able to store a wealth of information much greater than any computer. And based on the information that we have, of course, is the way we think. Not only the brain, but the mind. And the mind thinks, and therefore, because the mind thinks, we experience life. And there's the psychology of the soul. And did you know psychologists tell us that we pretty much, about 90% think the same thoughts every day? That's why some are stuck in a rut, because you're just thinking the same thoughts every day. Some of those thoughts are toxic and unhealthy, and you keep just replaying them and replaying them and replaying. You get up and you just go over the same thing every day, and your mind just sort of reverberates towards what you're always thinking about. And therefore, you keep doing the same things that you're doing because you keep thinking the same things that you're thinking 90% of the time. So how can we change the way we think? The scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so how can we change our lives? We change our lives by the way that we think. We stop thinking in the same old way, what Zig Ziglar used to call stinking thinking. And we begin thinking in new ways. And what is the new way that we think? We think the Word of God. We think the Word of God by getting the Word of God in our minds, in our brains. I was reading some studies about your brain on certain things. What is your brain like on caffeine? What is your brain like on alcohol? What is your brain like on drugs? What is your brain like on love? And then I began to think, what is your brain like on the Bible? If you want to change your brain, get your Bible in your brain. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we're transformed by the wisdom of God. We call this a biblical worldview. This is the wisdom of God. We now view the world differently than the world. We view the world, we view humanity, we view relationships, we view family, we view morals, we view meaning in life, all through the lens of Scripture. We think differently. We think Christianly because we have the Word of God in our minds. Think like a Christian and you will act like a Christian. The way you change that 90% of the stuff that you're thinking about is to get the Bible on your brain. Amen. And that happens through reading the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture. Because He converts not only your soul, your heart, your eternal future, but He can changes our mind. In fact, the very word repentance means to change your mind. Thirdly, the Bible will transform your emotions. The Bible is not only good theology, it is good psychology. Verse 8 says, the statutes, that's a synonym for Scripture, the statutes of the Lord are right, what? Rejoicing the heart. When you are down, when you are discouraged, when you are depressed, when you are defeated, turn to the transforming power and presence of God in His Word. Because God's Word, the Scripture, will lift you like nothing else because Christ is in His Word. Just yesterday, I was talking to my dear, dear friend, Dr. David Jeremiah. Dr. Jeremiah is one of the great Bible preachers and teachers and pastors of our generation, and really I view in any generation, author and speaker and pastor. He got up having had a great summer. He and his wife just were in Europe on a cruise celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And he's got a new book out on the called The Disappearance on the Rapture of the Church. He's one of the foremost and best preachers on the future and prophecy in the world today. Just got the book written, The Church is Soaring. His church, Shadow Mountain Community Church in the San Diego area, growing. And he quit eating sugar, he told me. I said, well, David, maybe this is why, what happened to you. But he quit eating sugar. He got his weight down, the best weight of his adult life, Dr. Cooper. But he got up on Labor Day and he couldn't walk. His left leg was totally numb, totally paralyzed. He couldn't walk. They got him to the hospital. He spent 8 days in the hospital trying to figure out what was wrong. They checked his brain, checked his cardiovascular system, checked everything, of course. They determined that a virus, it's a long name for what happened, but a virus has attacked his spinal cord. And it's a very rare thing. But he's improving. He's now in rehab. He's already walking and ahead of schedule to getting back, and he believes he's going to get all the way back. And as I was talking to him, he said, you know, I'm doing everything they tell me. I'm reading, I'm doing the rehab, but the other thing I'm doing, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm memorizing the book of Philippians. Do you know what Philippians is? It's the book of joy in your New Testament. And here's a man who is down, literally, physically, who not only preaches the Bible, but lives the Bible, and he said, I'm up, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. It is Philippians that says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, for again I say, rejoice. So pray for Dr. Jeremiah and his full recovery. But here's the point. Based on what we just said, there's the rejoicing of the heart. There's the rejoicing of the Spirit in the Word of God. There's joy in Jesus, and there is contagious joy in His Word, because God's Word turns pain into praise every single time. The Bible is good psychology. It is medicine for the soul. He said, I did eat these words. They were rejoicing to my heart. That's what Jeremiah also said. Not Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, but Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, your words were found, and I did eat them, and your words were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Again, that's Jeremiah 15, 16. I'm writing a book called The Jesus Book right now. That's why I'm so full of this subject. We can just go all day if you want to. Okay, we won't go all day then. But I'm writing it, and I don't type. I didn't pay any attention in type, unfortunately. I didn't pay much attention in typing class in high school. I figured I'd never need to know how to type. That was before keyboards, and I was so arrogant. I thought, I'll give somebody to type for me. But no, that didn't work out now. And so I'm writing everything by longhand on a legal pad. That's what I do. I can think actually pretty good through a pencil or a pen, better than a keyboard for me. So I'm writing it old school longhand, and I had my work out on the table. And when I came home, this is what I found. Can we put that on the screen? We have a dog by the name of Rowdy. And that Rowdy ate my homework. That's a dog on a Bible diet right there. And I was able, I think, to put most of it back together. But I thought, how fun. And, you know, there's such joy in Jesus. And it is the Word of God that brings the rejoicing of our hearts. Let's hurry through. Number four, the second part of verse 8, look at it. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So not only does the Bible convert the soul, does the Bible transform the soul, not only does the Bible transform our emotions, not only does the Bible transform our minds, but the Bible transforms our vision. Our vision. Enlightening the eyes. This, of course, is speaking of spiritual vision, because through the lens of Scripture, we look at things differently. Psalm 119, 105, a scripture that hung on my wall as both a boy and as a teenager. I saw it often. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That's the pledge. That's the promise. The word of our God is a lamp. It is a light in the darkest days. And in a world in which we don't know what's going to happen next, we can't see through the darkness into the future. We have concerns about the future. We talk about our kids and our students. We are concerned about the kind of world that our young people are going to inherit, are inheriting. And we need to do everything possible to train them up to know Christ, because it's going to be very difficult, not only Christ, but Christ's word is going to be very demanding and very difficult to stand for Christ in future generations. There was a pastor who was being interviewed on CNN. That's a risky thing to do, but go ahead and take the Bible there. And the interviewer asked this pastor, said, when are you Christians going to drag your Bible into the 21st century? Well, actually, I'm not trying to drag the Bible into the 21st century. I'm trying to drag you into the first century so that you can meet Jesus. so that we're not trying to bring the Bible up to speed to the culture progressively. We are bringing the culture to Jesus by preaching the Word of God. And when you can't see your way through, often through darkness, when you have questions, when you have doubts and you need counsel, if you want to know God's Word, God's will, know God's Word. You see yourself, you see God, you see everything through the Bible, the enlightening of the eyes. You see it transforms life, the way you see life. It transforms your vision. Number four, the Bible transforms your future. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord, that's a synonym, though the fear of the Lord means our adoration and exaltation and awestruck worship of God. The fear of the Lord also is a synonym here for the Scripture. And so the fear of the Lord, the Bible, is clean, enduring forever. The Bible transforms your future because the Bible is there when you get to your future. In a world in which everything changes, there is one thing that never changes, and that is the Word of God and Jesus Christ, whom the Word of God proclaims, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This book, the Bible, doesn't change. Everything else changes, but not the Bible. And that's why the Scripture is relevant to every generation. This book is God's generational book. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Number five, the Bible transforms your doubt and fears into faith and fortitude. Faith and fortitude from doubt and fears. Why? Verse 9 again, the last part. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. True and righteous. In this life, there are not many things that you can know that are true and righteous. My sons and I were just talking about the internet the other day and some of the false information we'd read even that day on the internet. You know that about, I don't know how much, about half the stuff you read on the internet is not even true. You know that, don't you? Yeah, I know. I see some of your stuff on Facebook and I say, I can't believe they posted that. That's not even close to being true. So just because somebody's Facebook or you saw it on the internet or somebody's social media, that doesn't mean it's true, and it's certainly often not righteous. And we want to know, what can you believe in a generation today? Maybe some are looking at your faith and there's so many doubts and so many fears about your life and your future, and you say, what can I believe? People have lost their trust in all the major institutions of our society, whether it is the church or government or education or media. I don't know what I believe anymore. So many are saying, what can you believe? What can you trust? You can trust the Bible. You can trust God's Word. Stake your life. I've staked my life on this book, on the Word of God. And that's why we need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And according to Jude 3, for the sake of our kids and our kids' kids, our children and our children's children, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. We are to keep fighting for the faith, and the faith is the Word of God. Number five, the Bible will transform your values. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, more than much fine gold. What do you read every day? Well, I read the stock report. I read the sports information. I read the internet. I read what? We devour entertainment. We have a steady diet of way too much amusement and entertainment. So what is getting into our minds? So much of the values of the world are too much with us. Now, there's nothing wrong in reading the stock market and checking sports scores and caring about those things and enjoying good, wholesome entertainment. But what God is saying is none of that compares to the gold of God's Word. The values of this world, what the world thinks is important, what the world thinks is value, it's nothing compared to the gold. Yes, the precious gold and the sweet honey of the taste of Scripture. It is better than anything money can buy. This Word of God is an inheritance, the inheritance you need to give to your children. Give your children a good inheritance, especially to your grandchildren. But give them the Word of God. That's the greatest gift that you can give your family. So the Bible, therefore, transforms our values. We're not living for the stuff the world can provide. We're living for only what God can provide. And number 6, the Bible will transform your behavior and your morality. Because verse 11 says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. This is why we preach the Bible, the whole counsel of God, including sin and judgment, because all of that is a warning. We are warned by the Word of God. And God gives us these warnings. What kind of preacher would I be? What kind of man would I be if I didn't tell you the truth, if I didn't warn you of the judgment that is to come, if I didn't warn you about the truth of God's Word? Because this is protective, and there's great reward in obeying God, in trusting God in His Word. So the Bible is a warning that protects us from sin and the consequences of sin. So when we say something is sin, it's not because we hate people, it is because we love people and we care about them and we want them to know the truth. It may be offensive to the world, and the world may try to shut us up and shut us down, but God's Word will not be stopped, and it pleases God. You know, you can please the world or you can please God. And it pleases God when you believe and receive and welcome His Word into your life. There was an old saying back in the day. People said, the Bible believes it, or the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Well, let me tell you something better than that. The Bible says it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. The Bible is God's Word and God's reward for trust and obedience. So keep believing, keep reading, keep meditating, keep thinking, keep studying, keep worshiping, keep teaching, keep preaching, keep sharing the Word of God. Can I give you a testimony? I've been loving and looking at God's Word all my life, virtually all my life. And I learned to love God's Word as a child. And God began to put it in my heart, even as a boy, to be a preacher of the gospel and to pastor God's people. And so God grew me up in His Word and called me to preach. I went to Hardin-Simmons University and became a major in, guess what? The Bible. I majored in the Bible, and then I began to preach as a young evangelist around West Texas, and had a little part-time church over in Cross Plains, Texas, when I was 19 years of age. Deb and I were just married a few months later, and she went with me, and we pastored that sweet little congregation. I've pastored 4 churches in my life, including that one. 2 in Oklahoma, 1 in Florida, and for the past 34 years plus here at Prestonwood. Just preaching God's Word, equipping God's people to do the work of the ministry. All through the days, we've tried to get the Word of God, our message on media. Even up in Hobart, Oklahoma, I went down and talked to the guy at the radio station and got our service on, put on the air on the little local radio station in southwest Oklahoma. And then later from radio to television, and now new media like the Bible in a year. And I've just been teaching and preaching God's Word all these years. I was stunned and still remain shocked that over 30 million have joined us on the Bible in a year. It's not me, it's God's Word. And I say it's not me because look, this is all I really basically know how to do. It's what I do. It's about all I know how to do. Don't ask me to fix anything at your house. It won't work. To explain and proclaim the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus, to equip the church to fulfill the Great Commission. I've had a front row seat all these years to see the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus change lives. And I stand here today as a testimony of the transforming power of the Word of God. Fill your mind with God's Word. Fill your heart with His truth. Get your brain on the Bible. Get your brain addicted to the Bible. It will always be the most influential book in the world. Why? Because the Bible meets the deepest needs of the human heart, because the story of the Bible is Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, everyone standing together? Online, the number is 74788. Text the word Jesus. If you want to trust Christ as your Savior, do it right now. We're standing by to connect with you. And in this room, I'm going to invite you forward to follow Jesus. If you don't know Him, take that first step of faith. It's just a little step. It's a baby step, but take the first step and come and follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Put your faith in Christ. Even if you have small faith, if you will commit to following Him, God's word will get in your heart and get in your life and change your everything. Jesus will transform your life. And so I'm going to invite you to come today and make that decision. We have pastors here at the front and upstairs in the balcony. And again, online, we're waiting to connect with you. So if you want to trust Christ, come forward. If you want to join this church and believe with us the word of God and share with us the message of the Bible to the world, come and unite with us. If you're a believer already, some are Baptist believers, you're already a Baptist, we'll join. You want to join this church from another Baptist church or a church of like faith and practice, a meaning of a very similar kind of church theologically, doctrinally, if you want to come and join with us. If you've not been baptized, as we understand New Testament baptism, we'll challenge you and urge you and counsel you to be baptized as a believer in Christ, but come and follow Christ. If you've already been baptized as a believer, we'll receive you as a new member the way we receive members at this church. In fact, I would encourage you who want to join Prestonwood today to come first and set the example for others. Lord, move in our hearts. Transform lives by the preaching and teaching of your word, by the work of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.